Welcome back to Praying with Scripture, also known as the Divine Office Podcast online. It's a new month, so I'd like to start us out by praying for the new month's Pope's monthly intentions, so that we can work toward a partial or plenary indulgence, kind of as we ask the Church to bless us for our time of prayer here. Prayer with Scripture is one of the things you get partial or plenary indulgences for. And that's all the Divine Office is. It's one of the few prayers in the Catholic Church that is verbatim Scripture, a diversity of Scriptures combined in a creative way. So this month's Pope's intention is for formation in discernment. Let us pray that we might again learn how to discern, know how to choose paths of life and reject everything that leads us away from Christ and the Gospel. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. Amen. We are going to try to pray a little bit of a kind of a shorter version of the Divine Office. Lord, in your anger, do not punish me. Psalm 38. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. Do not punish me, Lord, in your rage. Your arrows have sunk deep in me. Your hand has come down upon me. Through your anger, all my body is sick. Through my sin, there is no health in my limbs. My guilt towers higher than my head. It is a weight too heavy to bear. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of Mary's gifts, we pray for those who are suffering, including those that we just prayed for that are suffering from guilt. They can experience God's gift of unconditional love and know by faith his trust, worthiness. Pray for all the intentions of Mary's heart. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Lord, in your anger, do not punish me. Lord, you know all my longings. My wounds are foul and festering, the result of my own folly. I am bowed and brought to my knees. I go mourning all the day long. All my frame burns with fever. All my body is sick, spent and utterly crushed. I cry aloud in anguish of heart. O Lord, you know all my longing. My groans are not hidden from you. My heart throbs. My strength is spent. The very light has gone from my eyes. My friends avoid me like a leper. Those closest to me stand far off. Those who plot against my life lay snares. Those who seek my ruin speak of harm, planning treachery all the day long. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the little things, for the daily things that I take for granted. Thank you also for being able to sit here quietly and celebrate this office and pray this prayer of praise and this prayer of contrition on behalf of myself and others. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of Mary's gifts from God the Son. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Lord, you know all my longings. Antiphon 3, I confess my guilt to you, Lord. Do not abandon me, for you are my Savior. But I am like the deaf who cannot hear, like the dumb unable to speak. I am like a man who hears nothing, in whose mouth is no defense. I confess my guilt to you, Lord. Do not abandon me, for you are my Savior. I count on you, O Lord. It is you, Lord God, who will answer. I pray, do not let them mock me, those who triumph, if my foot should slip. I confess my guilt to you, Lord. Do not abandon me, for you are my Savior. For I am on the point of failing, and my pain is always before me. I confess that I am guilty, and my sin fills me with dismay. I confess my guilt to you, Lord. Do not abandon me, for you are my Savior. My wanton enemies are numberless. My lying foes are many. They repay me evil for good and attack me for seeking what is right. I confess my guilt to you, Lord. Do not abandon me, for you are my Savior. Lord, do not forsake me. My God, do not stay afar off. Make haste and come to my help. O Lord, my God, my Savior. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I confess my guilt to you, Lord. Do not abandon me, for you are my Savior. In honor of Mary's gifts from the Holy Spirit, may the Holy Spirit grant us the forgiveness of sins through Christ's blood. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective rays of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And actually, we would have had special solemn antiphons because today is the feast of St. Thomas. The Doubty Thomas. Doubting Thomas. I don't know that I like that kind of characterization, as if doubting is necessarily bad. But anyway, this is a very good, it's a feast of divine mercy. This used to be the second Sunday of Easter before the reform of the liturgical calendar. It used to be the feast of St. Thomas, and it was all about how, even though Thomas walked away from the church and walked away from his hope that Christ could rise from the dead, God came and gave this apparition to Thomas, his own special apparition, when he decided to come and sit among the other apostles. So it's like another way in which Thomas's feast links with divine mercy. Father Chris told us about that, which I thought was very, very interesting, a very deep insight, very important insight that I hadn't really considered before. So where are we? We're going to go get some special readings. They proclaimed the Lord's praises, told of his power to save and of the wonders he had worked. First reading, from the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. Oh man, I just wish they had more. I wish they had more possible first readings in the Common of Apostles. Maybe someday when they revise the Divine Office. Let us imitate the Apostle just as he imitates Christ, is the caption. Men should regard us as servants of Christ and administrators of the mysteries of God. The first requirement of an administrator is that he prove trustworthy. It matters little to me whether you or any human court pass judgment on me. I do not even pass judgment on myself. Mind you, I have nothing on my conscience, but that does not mean that I am declaring myself innocent. The Lord is the one to judge me, so stop passing judgment before the time of his return. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and manifest the intentions of hearts. At that time, everyone will receive his praise from God. Brothers, I have applied all this to myself and Apollos by way of example for your benefit. May you learn from us not to go beyond what is set down, so that none of you will grow self-important by reason of his association with one person rather than another. Who confers any distinction on you? Name something that you have not received. If then you have received it, why are you boasting as if it were your own? At the moment, you are completely satisfied. You have grown rich. You have launched upon your reign with no help from us. Would that you had really begun to reign, that we might be reigning with you. As I see it, God has put us apostles at the end of the line, like men doomed to die in the arena. We have become a spectacle to the universe, to angels and men alike. We are fools on Christ's account. Ah, but in Christ you are wise. We are the wise ones, you the strong. They honor you while they sneer at us. Up to this very hour we go hungry and thirsty, poorly clad, roughly treated, wandering about homeless. We work hard at manual labor. When we are insulted, we respond with a blessing. Persecution comes our way, we bear it patiently. We are slandered and we try conciliation. We have become the world's refuge, the scum of all. That is the present state of affairs. I am writing you in this way not to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. Granted, you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you have only one Father. It was I who begot you in Christ Jesus through my preaching of the gospel. I beg you then, be imitators of me. Responsory prayer. I no longer call you servants, but my friends, for I have shared with you everything I have heard from my Father. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven have been revealed to you. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I have shared with you everything I have heard from my Father. And then our second reading for St. Thomas's feast day is special. It's from a homily on the Gospels by St. Gregory the Great, Pope. So he was a great Pope, and he was in like the 500s AD or something like that. So a very kind of early church history figure, but after the First Council of Nicaea when Christianity was legalized. My Lord and my God is the caption. Thomas, one of the 12, called the Twin, was not with them when Jesus came. He was the only disciple absent. On his return, he heard what had happened, but refused to believe it. The Lord came a second time. He offered his side for the disbelieving disciple to touch, held out his hands and showing the scars of his wounds, healed the wound of his disbelief. Dearly beloved, what do you see in these events? Do you really believe that it was by chance that this chosen disciple was absent? Then came and heard and doubted and touched and believed. It was not by chance, but in God's providence. In a marvelous way, God's mercy arranged that the disbelieving disciple, in touching the wounds of his master's body, should heal our wounds of disbelief. The disbelief of Thomas has done more for our faith than the faith of the other disciples. As he touches Christ and is won over to believe, every doubt is cast aside and our faith is strengthened. So the disciple who doubted, then felt Christ's wounds, becomes a witness to the reality of the resurrection. Touching Christ, he cried out, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, Thomas, you have believed." Paul said, "Faith is the guarantee of things hoped for and evidence of things unseen." It is clear then that faith is the proof of what cannot be seen. What is seen gives knowledge, not faith. When Thomas saw and touched, why was he told, "You have believed because you have seen me"? Because what he saw and what he believed were different things. God cannot be seen by mortal man. Thomas saw a human being whom he acknowledged to be God and said, "My Lord and my God." Seeing, he believed. Looking at one who was true man, he cried out that this was God, the God he could not see. What follows is reason for great joy. Blessed are those who have not seen and believed. There is a particular reference to ourselves, who hold in our hearts one we have not seen in the flesh. We are included in these words, but only if we follow up our faith with good works. The true believer practices what he believes. But of those who pay only lip service to faith, Paul had this to say, They profess to know God, but they deny him in their works. Therefore, James says, faith without works is dead. This life was made visible. We have seen it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We have seen it with our own eyes, and with our own hands we have touched the word of life. What we have seen and heard we declare to you. The eternal life which was with the Father has appeared to us, and has appeared to us. To Dan. I guess we could do that. Let's do that prayer. You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father, all creation worships you. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing an endless praise. Holy, 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 Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you. Father of majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became man to set us free, you did not spurn the Virgin's womb. You overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come and be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people, bought with the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting. Save your people, Lord, and bless your inheritance. Govern and uphold us now and always. Day by day we bless you. We praise your name forever. Keep us today, Lord, from all sin. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy. Lord, show us your love and mercy, for we put our trust in you. In you, Lord, is our hope, and we shall never hope in vain. Never hope in vain. Never hope in vain. Never. So let's take a look at some of our other readings. And we'll finish with intercessions from St. Thomas. Let's take a look at the Magnificat, which has all of our Mass readings plus some reflections and some other good things. Magnificat, monthly periodical magazine. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the Holy Ones and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. Through him the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred to the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 117. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. Praise the Lord, all you nations, and tell the good news. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Glorify him, all you peoples. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. For steadfast is his kindness to us, and the fidelity of the Lord endures forever. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. You believe in me, Thomas, because you have seen me, says the Lord. Blessed are those who have not seen but still believe. My Lord and my God, is the passage caption. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John, John 20, passage specifically about Thomas's moment of coming to faith and hope. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas said to them, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst, and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm just going to share with you our scriptural antiphons that would have been on our morning prayer. Psalms. "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus replied, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Very beautiful, right? I believe it was actually Philip in the story that says that. Thomas, who was called the twin, was not present when Jesus appeared to the apostles, so they told him, "We have seen the Lord." Alleluia. "With your hand, touch the mark of the nails. Doubt no longer, but believe." Alleluia. "You are strangers and aliens no longer. You are fellow citizens of the saints and members of the household of God. You form a building." This is Ephesians 2. "You form a building which rises on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. Through him the whole structure is fitted together and takes shape as a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are being built into this temple to become a dwelling place for God in the Spirit." Here we go. "Beloved friends, we have inherited heaven along with the apostles. Let us give thanks to the Father for all his gifts. The company of apostles praises you, O Lord. Praise be to you, Lord, for the banquet of Christ's body and blood given us through the apostles, which refreshes us and gives us life. On this feast of St. Thomas, we pray for all those who doubt their faith, that God may strengthen them and bring them to the resources that will show them the unassailable truth present in Catholicism's revelation, its pure revelation of the Father. Pray for all seekers that they will come to the same knowledge of the truth, even if gradually. Pray for the church to be a courageous witness. And praise to you, Lord, for the feast of your word prepared for us by the apostles, giving us light and joy. Praise be to you, Lord, for your holy church, founded on the apostles, where we are gathered together into your community. Praise be to you, Lord, for the cleansing power of baptism and penance that you have entrusted to your apostles, through which we are cleansed of our sins. We pray for all of your intentions, for your healing, for your well-being, for your peace of mind and heart on this beautiful feast of St. Thomas the Apostle, and for all other intentions, and for our online ministry, and for Pope Leo to be guarded, protected, and to be able to respond to our needs. Become, we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. May the Almighty God bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. And there's one more collect prayer, plus the plenary indulgence blessing that I always give on behalf of myself, not on behalf of you or anything. So you can just kind of copy me if you wish to do the plenary blessing yourself at the end. The church does want us to be aware of the plenary indulgence and to actually ask God for it. So you can either copy my little prayer of blessing, or you can do it in your own words and to ask for the indulgence. "Grant, Almighty God, that we may glory in the feast of the Blessed Apostle Thomas, so that we may always be sustained by his intercession, and believing may have life, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, whom Thomas acknowledged as the Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Please, dear God, I offer my plenary indulgence for a soul in purgatory on this beautiful day in the year of hope. May he or she pray for all my urgent needs and intentions, and help us plunder your partial indulgence in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, have a great rest of your day.